Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm pretty deep into a dark Pinocchio fantasy.
Wait, is this a sexual fantasy?
No. It's a video game fantasy that... you know, a little bit sexy, but it's one of those video games.
I mean, if he's lying, it's sexy.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, and let me tell you, Jesse, you can't trust this guy.
Yeah.
It's one of those, you know, when you're playing a video game and someone asks you, what are you playing?
Yeah.
And it's something you're embarrassed to describe to them.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just going to describe it for you in our audience.
Because, not like one of the really cool video games that you're playing?
You know, it's something, like, I think there's, yes, obviously, like, describing any video game to somebody is, like, a little bit embarrassing.
What are you playing? I'm playing Billie Eilish or something. I don't know. What's cool in 2025?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, like, if you said to somebody, like, oh, I'm playing Baldur's Gate 3.
Right.
You know, that's a big, popular game. A lot of people have heard of it. It's a, you know, and there's
If they haven't heard of it, they've heard of Baldur's Gate 2.
Of course. Dark Alliance?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, oh, it's a D&D quest game, and the, like, the description of it isn't baffling, you know?
Right.
Yeah, Hades 2, you know? Oh, I've heard of that, and yeah, people are playing
that. Or at least
that.
Hades 1.
Sure. Dark Alliance. and then, so, but the one I'm playing, and I'm very into, is Lies of P, which is a dark retelling of the Pinocchio story in a Soulsborne format.
It's got a Soulsborne? You're telling me this thing's got a Soulsborne
format?
Jesse,
it's a Soulsborne format.
Okay.
Specifically a Bloodborne format. But
okay.
Yeah. So there's, and so it's like, okay. So yes, just like having...
I had asked for AP style, but...
Right.
Yeah.
I was talking to our buddy John Gabris. He asked me, what are you playing? Yeah. This guy knows video games. I'm like, Lies of P. He's like, what is that? I'm like... It's a dark retelling of Pinocchio. It's like that sentence. It's a dark retelling of Pinocchio. And, but here's the kicker that I think you want to know about, I think our audience should know about.
Yeah.
This is
ultimately an educational program.
There's an upgrade system in
right.
where you obtain quartz out there. You kill zombies, you kill puppets that have undergone a puppet frenzy.
Wow, puppet frenzy. That sounds dark.
It is. I mean, this is a dark retelling of Pinocchio. This ain't your grandma's Pinocchio.
Got it.
It's all, you know, fun and games.
My grandma, by the way, I didn't even know that I even mentioned to you that my grandma had a Pinocchio.
Yeah. your grandma and I are close.
Yeah.
We talk when you're not here.
Okay.
Your grandma and I text.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this is...
He was a bad boy.
Pinocchio?
No, my grandma's Pinocchio.
Oh, yeah, he was. He was kind of a bad boy.
We ultimately had to burn him in the hearth.
Oh. Well, this Pinocchio from Lies of P, he's quite a bad boy. Not only tells lies, but operates chainsaws.
Yeah.
And uses them to kill both humanoid creatures and puppets who have undergone a puppet frenzy.
Right. And you are evil dark Pinocchio.
You are evil dark Pinocchio.
Okay.
Well, morally gray,
right.
Let's say. I don't want to call him evil.
A sort of
morally
anti-hero.
Gray.
Like a Breaking Bad situation.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of a Walter White. And he doesn't speak too, so you kind of have to, you know, like his reactions, you know, they're whatever you want them to be. He's an inkblot, you know.
Right.
So as you go through the game, you obtain quartz from, you know, slaying various monsters.
The crystal?
The crystal, yeah. Chests. These are places you can find quartz. And you use it to upgrade your pee organs.
Okay,
this is what they've called the upgrade slots in the game. So if you want more attack power, if you want, you know, to lower the amount of stamina a dodge takes.
Right.
You apply quartz to your pee organ.
Got it.
Yeah. So that's what's going on with me.
You got a lot of quartz?
Not as much as I'd like, honestly. Honestly, I would love to have a more upgraded pee organ.
Okay. Is there only one pee organ, or are all the organs on a pee organs?
Unclear. I think, I don't know if a pee organ is referencing, you know, your entire bundle of upgrades, or if each individual upgrade is a pee organ, it's mysterious.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Quartz.
Yeah.
Why this valueless mineral?
I don't know. Again, there's probably some lore I'm not getting. I should probably read more item descriptions.
Yeah.
This is where you're going to get important lore.
Are you not reading the in-game books?
No, I'm definitely not. I don't do that. But yeah, there's a lot of like, there's a lot of information you can get on the Puppet Frenzy.
Got it.
The Krat Hotel, which is kind of your hub world. There's more information you can get on this by reading the item descriptions. And
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Like, as upset as I am when I learn, for example, that the federal government is considering privileging refugee applicants from who are white South Africans because they're the victim of bias in South Africa, and that's why they should be allowed to be asylum seekers.
Right.
As upset as I am about that, having to read a book inside a video game upsets me more.
Worse.
That is the top thing that upsets me. There's a lot of nines out there that upset me nine, but 10?
Yep.
Asking me to read a book inside a video game.
Did you ever make it very far inside that Skyrim remake?
So there, I did Skyrim remake. I didn't get that far inside of the remake of the Skyrim that came before Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
Because my child stole the video game system and brought it to her room.
Okay. I think you could say stole a video game system and sold it for drug money.
Yeah. She sold it for pee organ upgrades.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to upgrade your pee organ.
But yeah, there's so many in-game books in Skyrim.
Yeah.
And I've dedicated hundreds of hours to Skyrim.
Right.
I probably put in 1,000 hours of playing Skyrim. If I even have to read one word of one of those books, like a fucking adventurer's diary or whatever, I'm down here and the goblins got me and that's why I left my treasure trove in this location. Fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you. I'm straight to Google to tell me where to go.
Sure.
I will not read your book.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to be reading a book, I would be reading a book. I would be in fucking high school.
Whenever like a gameplay thing is like, and whenever you need to have read that lore thing or like talk to that NPC to understand what to do next, I'm just like, fuck it. I will get a Dutch guy to explain it to me on YouTube. Why are they all Dutch? I don't know. Are they Dutch? I don't. They sound
Dutch. Some might
Dutch.
Be Hungarian.
They sound Dutch.
Some could be Hungarian.
I've never been to Holland.
Our guest on the program, Jordan, our guest on the program is not just behind the wonderful podcast One Song, one of my favorite podcasts that I like to listen to, although I didn't finish the Fall Out Boy episode because it didn't quite bring me around on Fall Out Boy.
Sure. I'm not quite there either.
He is also the co-creator of two of the funniest and best television programs of recent years, Sherman's Showcase and Southside, Diallo Riddle. Hi, Diallo.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You like to read an in-game book?
You know what's funny? Listening to you guys talk about this, I'm reminded that like I was like, I'm not playing anything now. My son plays Baldur's Gate 3, and it's funny because I saw him like building his character, and he gave it distressingly large busts, like like really big. And
how's the pee organ? How large would you say the pee organ?
Normal size.
But it can engorge.
Well, sure, depending on how much quartz you get.
I did go to his mom, and I was just like, I didn't want to say anything, but like his character has gigantic boobs.
A game I've played. Is there a boob slider? Can you
apparently
slide up the
There's
boob?
No way that that is the default boob on you're, that game.
Yeah. You're saying you don't think the designer designed these boobs. This
no,
is something your son has chose to customize?
Yes. And so like, admittedly, like the kids sort of took over the consoles from us at some point. So like now they play way more than we do. So I'm used to building avatars and like deciding on this is how the eye is going to look and all this kind of stuff. But like I saw that character, I was just like, whoa. Like it just seemed like, you know, we used to like draw our dream girl, you know, when I was growing up. But like now you put in the avatar.
I've not played Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
Given this, your son the benefit of the doubt, is there a stat reason for making the jugs that big? Like, does
you know,
it
that
upgrade
might be it.
Your
yes.
dexterity?
It's good for power attack.
Increases charisma quotient or something. Yeah, like maybe
I've heard
so.
Of a dex build, totally. But a sex build.
I have a long-standing opinion that I stand behind that if you are in a video game where you design the character, there's only three options. One is the default option. One is try and make it look like you.
Yeah.
One is make it look like Mr. T.
That is the video game thing. I also don't want to read an in-game book, but I do not want to customize a guy. Oh, I don't want to
customize a
guy.
It's so much work.
And the guy looks bad. I make it look bad. I'm bad at it.
I don't know how close together its eyes should be.
There is, in Lies of P, there is a fair amount of...
I have so many questions about this Pinocchio.
Oh, the Dark Pinocchio fantasy?
Yes.
So there is a little bit of like outfit customization, and the outfits don't have stat boosts, right? So you're not getting defense based on your outfit. It's purely cosmetic.
You're just catching a boner off that.
Well, yeah. One of the options for his outfit's Santa hat. So that's what I did.
Okay. That's a little cool. Santa. That's kind of cool. I have so many questions.
Yeah, sure. I can.
This is not going to become the Lies of P.
Lies of P.
This is not going to become the Lies of P podcast. No.
But, it might as well. We don't have anything else prepared.
Yeah. But, okay, so clearly this is a case of public domain. Like, I assume Pinocchio is just owned by anybody now.
Yeah,
anybody
I think
can do...
you can make a dark Pinocchio fantasy any fucking time you want.
I actually put that into a script one time. I was saying that I always grew up with a family that was kind of like the Black Royal Tannenbaums. Like, everybody was like very sort of like in their own lane, very, you know, very intelligent, actually probably overeducated, but like kind of quirky in their own way. And I remember that I said that what we would call in this greenwriting business, the inciting incident, is that this family has always been sort of insulated and protected because nobody had to work for a living. It turned out that their grandfather had written a song that's basically like Sweet Georgia Brown.
Uh-huh.
And this was the year that went into the public domain. So suddenly their spigot has been completely cut off, and these weirdos had to go out in the world and actually support their support themselves.
Honestly, incredibly good news for the Harlem Globetrotters.
Good inciting incident.
The fucking overhead for the Harlem Globetrotters just dropped by 40%.
They're getting LeBron-sized salaries now, apparently. Yeah, I love the idea of the public domain. As somebody who like tries to write scripts, like, I'm always kind of like checking, like, is that in the public domain? Because there's something, the Lost World? Like, is there something like, you know, and I would assume that in the Pinocchio world, in the P universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Don't know what I was talking about before. Like, Jiminy Cricket, he's a Disney character, right?
Wait, the light or dark P universe?
This is because this is dark.
The Snyder.
We're talking
universe.
About dark. Yeah,
strictly Snyder.
A lot of slow mo. Sure.
Jiminy Cricket. Did he come out of the Disney Pinocchio, or is he in the books? Do we know?
He's you not know, in the I've game. Never, I assume. There is a little kind of like
bug?
Fairy character called Jimmy or something that I think is supposed to remind you of Jiminy Cricket.
Okay. I think Jiminy Cricket was specifically created for the movie. Okay. I think that is a movie element.
And then he just kind of hung around because of his popularity.
Yeah.
He's sort of like the first genie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. But yeah, I don't know anything about the actual story of Pinocchio. I think this familiar story, I was scared by the movie as a kid.
It's
Disney
terrifying.
Because it's terrifying.
Oh, yeah. When you go to the island, all those boys start turning into
those
donkeys.
Those bad boys? Oh, those boys were so bad.
Dude.
And they turned into but were they bad enough to deserve being turned into donkeys?
I mean, they were smoking cigars, they were breaking chairs.
That's pretty bad, yeah.
That's pretty bad stuff in 1939.
That's not stuff I would have gotten up to.
I need those chairs to sit in.
Yeah, at the most I would have smoked a cigarillo.
Yeah, but I didn't, yeah, so I think I was scared of it as a kid and then engaged with no Pinocchio media until Lies of P.
Right.
Which I'm enjoying.
You didn't even read the novelization?
I didn't, even though there's additional Geppetto backstory.
You didn't watch the webisodes?
No, I didn't.
This actually begs the question. Lies of P aside, we know that's a fucking classic and, you know, it's going in all the time capsules. But
yes.
But has there ever been, like, you know, we all heard about those Winnie the Pooh movies that came out when that went by. Has there
Jesse's
been...
seen them, right? Your
I've only
kid
seen
got
one of
the...
them. Okay. I saw the first
one, Blood and Honey.
The first one, Blood and Honey, which... Yeah. As I said on this program, I mean, I am not a horror movie watcher, and the movie was pretty bleak.
Mm-hmm.
However, that having been said...
Bleak philosophically or bleak creatively?
Nobody goes to that movie for philosophy.
Yeah. Bleak philosophically. I was shocked at how competently made it was. Like, the actors in it do a genuinely good job. There's no amateurish performances. Right. It, like, looks good. The character looks good and genuinely creepy. I mean, it's, like, a weird idea, but, like, it is genuinely... It is well executed, I would say, for like a garbage movie is very well executed. But my poor wife, my daughter is now 14 years old, and she's obsessed with this stuff.
Really?
Completely obsessed.
Horror or Winnie the Pooh?
She loves horror. She was really into the new adventures of Winnie the Pooh, and she's like,
which
give
is
me
a song
anything.
I sing all the freaking time.
Yeah. What's the song?
The song, it's time to get up, it's time to get going. I'm gonna see a friend of mine. He's warm and he's cuddly. I love him because he's just Pooh Bear winning the Pooh Bear.
That's really good.
Always winning the Pooh. I literally sang it to my kid the other day because it starts with those great lines. It's time to get up. It's time to get going. If you had to wake up an 8-year-old, you're gonna you're gonna do a parody song for your 8-year-old to get them out of the door.
My daughter doesn't watch a ton of horror movies these days, but she's obsessed with the idea of them. And this dark cinematic universe is dark childhood cinematic universe is what they call it. Is she needs to watch it. So like they release these movies like in those kind of like the way that they release like an anime movie or a riff tracks presentation.
Yeah, you see it at one or two theaters and it's like simulcast.
And it's mainly on streaming though, right?
Yeah. But my daughter insists on going. Like she will mark time by when the like evil Peter Pan movie is coming out.
Peter Pan caught astray with the Chippendales movie.
Yeah.
You know, my kid was just like, oh man, they just ruined my childhood because he loved Peter Pan as a kid.
What's the take? I saw that movie, but I kind of forget it. What's the take?
It's sort of a
Peter
reveal.
Pan?
I mean, I guess.
Is he bad in that?
If you haven't seen the Chippendales movie and you don't want the ending spoiled, skip ahead 15 seconds. Peter Pan's a villain.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a twist villain. And, you know, he's a bad guy, you know, but here's the thing. So there's a whole name for this, the dark universe, the dark
childhood cinematic universe. So there's a Peter Pan one. There's
a Bambi, right?
There's a Bambi, Bambi the
Reckoning.
How
bad can Bambi get?
He can gore you with horns.
I mean, think about it. Like the Bambi one.
See deers? Those things are terrifying.
The Bambi one is the one that makes the most natural sense to me. I mean,
which one?
The Bambi one. Like there's a challenge of how do you make a deer the protagonist of a low budget live action film? And I don't know how they solve that because I did not see that one. But I will say that, like, the idea that they slaughtered Bambi's family and then Bambi goes on a rampage is a pretty straightforward, makes sense idea.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Like, emotionally, that one makes the most sense.
Honestly, like, the Winnie the Pooh one that I saw, the premise is that, like, Winnie the Pooh, the first one only had Winnie the Pooh because the Pooh was the only character that had passed into public domain by then. Uh-huh. I think.
You can't have sexy Eeyore.
Yeah. It was
unfortunately.
Like, it was like maybe
sexy Piglet is like a that's redundant.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's redundant.
Guy's already sexy. Look at him. A little tail.
A little corkscrew.
Yeah.
Ooh, I want to get in there. Maybe it had Piglet in it. It didn't have Tigger. I think it didn't have Tigger. That was the thing.
That's probably for the better.
But
that cokehead.
But like the premise.
Is that why he bounces to cocaine? I have no idea.
The premise of that one was that Winnie the Pooh had turned evil with his other friends because Christopher Robin had loved him so much, but then abandoned him when Christopher Robin became an adult. And so they like curled.
Toy Story ripoff.
Sure. Yeah, it was like sort of a Toy Story. But like, honestly, I bought it in the movie. Like when I'm watching this movie, like there are things about the movie, like the movie is so relentlessly grim. Like it's just not my thing. But like that emotional center of the story, I was like, that's weird. This is working for me.
without spoiling it, who is Pooh killing then? He's like killing Christopher
family. Robin and his friends.
Uh-huh.
Like they go out to, they like get an Airbnb in the woods or whatever. And he's targeting Christopher Robin and his friends. And he has like a, you know, an abandoned warehouse abattoir and all that kind of stuff. Again, like, Not a good movie. I don't recommend watching it. However, if you're going to watch a Winnie the Pooh horror movie, you could do a lot worse.
There's probably 8 or 9 of them, honestly.
Yeah. I want to see your to-do list.
Has there been anything you've like...
Winnie the Pooh horror film.
Jill, has there been anything you've had to like dive into because your kids are into it, other than like...
Oh, I mean, I feel like most of the things that I'm into because at some point the kids were like, I mean, you know, I had my own anime phase with like Yurusei Yatsura and all that stuff that we were watching in like the early 90s. But then, you know, I sat there and I watched every episode of Naruto. I watched the full series on Attack on Titan. I actually will swear by, I think it's season 5. There's an episode in season 5 with a scene that's so intense. I'm like, this rivals anything I've ever seen. When Tarantino's at his best.
Okay.
Literally, like, there's a character that you freaking hate, but you don't want them to die, who has a knife, to a character that you don't really care about, and then all the characters you do care about are about to make a horrible decision. Like, I was just like, I am fully invested in this. It's like, just a different way.
I think Jesse and I are both kind of, like, anime occasionals, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
And I tried Attack on Titan, the nude giant military drama.
How far did you get?
Did I get through a season? I might have gotten through a season.
You got through season 1.
And then, you know, and I liked a lot of it.
Yeah.
It is very grim. It is very intense.
Yeah.
Very cool. The fucking fighting is awesome. Yeah. And the theme song is fucking rad. Oh, man.
My kid wanted to take Japanese lessons so he could sing Sasagio, you know, like the whole thing. Yeah.
But there's just like... I'm like, there's just one episode that's a military trial. And I'm like,
yeah.
You know, I think the pacing of this is just too weird for me.
Did you find that you couldn't handle the truth?
Yeah, you know, maybe that's it. Maybe I just wanted to stay a sheep in the flock, man.
I will say they did something in season 3, which I don't like. Okay. I think it was season 3, which is...
The Giants put on clothes. A little slacks.
Season 3, they went out of their way to describe, like, way too much lore, and it started to feel like an information drop. I hate that. I hate it when, like, you just get way more backstory. Like, we don't need to know everything.
Sure.
You know,
you have to understand that anime fans, and my 8-year-old is mm-hmm. a big anime kid.
Yeah.
All they want is lore. Like, these episodes don't make sense. Like, they're not, like, narratively coherent. They have some cool-looking parts and a bunch of lore that you can list to your dad later.
You know, I bought it. Are we talking specifically about Attack on or all anime?
I've seen that. I've seen a little bit of that one.
Uh-huh.
I've seen a little bit of Naruto. A little bit of One Punch Man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they're all different. You know, like One Punch Man could not get into it all. Naruto sort of lost me around season 3.
One Punch Man is kind of amusing. That one is a little bit like anime Venture Brothers. Like where a big part of it,
that.
A big part of it is just like, hey, there's this funny superhero I thought of.
I do feel like I can kind of sort of hang with anime people because the one that I did get into that mm-hmm. worked for me was Jujutsu Kaisen.
Oh,
which is
my middle kid's favorite one. Yeah, absolutely.
I thought I did find some of that stuff that we mentioned to be true and that there's just like big lore dump episodes that are hard to follow.
Mm.
But the cool shit is so unbelievably cool
yeah.
in it that I'm like, yeah, fine. I'll listen to how curses work against anti-curses if it means that like guys are going to punch through each other's mouths.
Listen, I can't agree with you more. I personally admit it. I love the lore.
You know, and I like it to a certain point.
Yeah.
I guess I have a breaking point.
Well, I guess I guess that's why it's art, right? Because there are no hard and fast rules. I just said I didn't like that they felt the need to explain everything.
Sure.
But then there were other things that they definitely didn't need to explain that I fucking loved. Like, I loved it when they had a whole episode breaking down the individual equipment that they used to, like, on Attack on to, like, swing through the buildings and slash these guys from behind. I love that episode. Yeah. I'm not even a gear guy.
You like a Tom Clancy anime.
I'm serious. I really dug it. I think, you know, it's really case by case. Like,
yeah,
when,
sure.
What direction do we go deeper on?
Right. I think
that's totally legit. By the way, Naruto, I think, sort of suffered from, you know, just it eventually became, I was never a huge, huge fan of, and I'm going to get hate mail for it. I was never a huge fan of like those kung fu movies that they would show like in certain cities on Saturday morning after the cartoons,
yeah.
because I was like, there's just a lot of fighting, you know, like there's not enough plot here to sort of like hold, like you know, even with Godzilla, like I would usually skip the first half of Godzilla just so I could get to the monsters fine, because I wasn't into
How are you learning about Japan's national traumas?
I was like, okay, so this guy's fighting this guy because one's a spy and the other one's, let's get to the monsters. I think it's just it depends on what you want to get into.
In Naruto, which is was one I have not engaged with, I realize it's huge and I realize that there's a run you can do.
Oh, yeah. From season one, he runs and he puts his hands back. And then when they were doing the, Area 51 thing where they were like, we're going to find out if the aliens are in there. They're like, you know, thousands of us doing the Naruto run. They can't kill us all. And like the military's like, we can kill you all. So they actually ended up aborting. But can I talk about just fandom real quick? Because
sure,
I think what's cool about anime and what's cool about, I was such a comic book kid growing up. Yeah. Like, but to this day, I can remember exactly where I was when I was going through the stacks and I found Amazing Spider-Man number 25. First appearance of Mary Jane Watson Parker and the Spider Slayer. I found it at a swap meet on Old National Highway in Atlanta, and the guy was selling it for $5. It wasn't a reprint.
Wow.
And he just didn't know what he had
in that
box.
Fucking chump.
A lot of junk in that box, but to like 15-year-old me.
His kid just move out or something, and he's like, oh, I got to get rid of this.
I still can't believe I bought
Action
that comic
Comics
for
Comics 1. Get this out of here.
I literally have dreams where I'm like at a flea market, and I find like a Greg Jeffries rookie card. I find
is that
1989
is it
Upper Deck Ken Griffey Jr., and I'll be like, I'll wake up and I'll be so mad.
Why
I'll be
is that real?
So mad. Yeah. Haven't bought a baseball card in 30 years.
I would buy a Dale Murphy. Oh. That was my guy. I grew up in Atlanta, so I would definitely, you know, I actually put Dale Murphy into a script with the schoolboy hopes that I will actually get to meet, you know, the forgotten brave legend.
That guy is supposed to be a good guy, right?
He's such a good guy. I looked it up. I was like, Dale Murphy alive?
Hello.
And he had been on a podcast like a year ago.
Dale Murphy homophobe?
Sadly, I don't want to know everything.
Dale Murphy vaccines? Vaccines what think of?
Dale Murphy doing his own research? Oh, no. Darn
vaccines
it.
Vaccines instead of? You were making a larger point about fandom.
Yeah, I just think that like comic books, anime, I've even gotten into Bravo. I've gotten into all the reality shows because I will make the case, and maybe I'm preaching to the choir, I don't know, but in my opinion, I've gone to like some events and like not BravoCon, but like some BravoCon style events.
So this is stuff like housewife shows and
Vanderpump Rules. Yes. It can be the Traitors. It can be it can be so many different things from that world. But you know, you know, the Real Housewives is sort of like the hub of that universe. It's like where all the things. So, but you go to those things and they talk like the people who I was hanging out with at comic book conventions. They'll be like, "Oh yeah, well, you know, Dorinda did this in season one, but that was before they had." It's like
Dorinda got the black
suit. Yes, exactly. Totally.
The symbiote attached to her on Battle World.
Totally, it's before Dorinda got the black suit. It's totally that, and I respect it. And these people come in, they're larger than life, and in some weird way, they're kind of like, you know, female superheroes as well. They have, like, these ridiculous ball gowns on all the time. Like, they are essentially a superhero for a different kind of fan.
Right. Do you have a top housewife?
Oh, gosh, I did not know I was
a top housewife city,
Okay, this is going to sound like a cheat. Mm-hmm. Can I name two?
You can name two.
So somebody came into the Housewives universe, but she was already fit. Denise Richards was amazing on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She was amazing.
Denise Richards was a housewife?
She was a housewife on Beverly Hills, yeah.
I just watched the 30 Rock with Denise Richards. She did a great job where she's a representative of all dumb people.
She's outstanding. She's outstanding to watch. There was one time she got so drunk she put her jacket on upside down. So it looked like she had a short jacket with a long cape. It was the funniest thing. And she's just like, and everybody's like, are you gonna get home okay? And she's like, you gonna get home okay? Like, I'm telling you, these shows are way better than I think. I think it's easy to be like, oh, Real Housewives, and you're sort of judging them based on how they probably were like 20 years ago. But like at this point, like, okay, so to really answer your question, if I'm going hardcore into who's my favorite right now, darn, I feel like it might be Mary.
Cause don't fuck this up.
I know. Well, because I run into them sometimes.
We will definitely know who you're talking about.
I still DJ sometimes. DJ Meredith from Salt Lake City is out there. We've met before, and wow. I think she's really making a serious go at this DJing thing. But right now, I'm going to say it's Mary Cosby, which I would have never thought I would say, because in the first season of Real Housewives of Salt Lake, she was unbearable. I was like, who is this crazy person? And now she's just like, she's one of the best written characters, you know, in her brain. She's always in character, you know, like they went to like this Airbnb and Mary Cosby was just like, this place is haunted. And if you know who that character is, like she's never happy. She'll always find something wrong. I really do enjoy watching them.
One of them has a DJ career.
So
I
Meredith
think many
Marks,
of them probably have DJ careers.
Well, a lot of them have singing careers.
Okay.
Like, you know, I feel like one of the ones on Miami has a song called Miami's Hot, Hot, Fuego, Fuego. And I'm like, it's embarrassing that she speaks Spanish and yet I know more Spanish than her song. Yeah. this is insane. I've jokingly said, hey, Blake, we should do a one song episode on Miami's Hot and just let that be. Yeah, I think that they all have, a lot of them have singing careers. Not many of them have truly pursued DJing. Meredith Marks is trying to be a DJ. She was in the West Hollywood parade over the summer, I want to say.
Okay. I have a question. This is based on the career of our friend Dave Holmes.
Yeah.
Dave was an MTV VJ, but being an MTV VJ did not pay enough money to live on.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, like he was literally did not have enough money from being an MTV VJ to have an apartment.
Why is MTV like Amazon? You know, we should not be funding.
Yeah,
we should not be funding the.
Rob Dyrdek is on the street.
Food stamps. Rob Dyrdek. Food stamps for MTV VJs. Yeah. That's wrong. That's wrong.
Matt, what's his name? Had to pee in bottles
at Penfield.
Yeah.
Okay.
While he was spouting facts about rock music.
Mm-hmm. Who made these decisions? Was it Loader?
Yeah, Loader was the one. So Dave and Jesse Camp, who was like his counterpart in the Wanna Be a DJ contest, would do nightclub appearances on the weekends. Like every weekend, they would fly to Nashville or Des Moines or somewhere, and they would get paid $3,000 or whatever just to appear at a night. They had no act. They would just go there and just be there.
And just be there.
Yeah, like wave from the DJ
booth.
Is this like
mid-2000s?
This was, when was this? This was in the late 90s?
2000 sounds right.
Or maybe early 2000s.
Yeah,
that was the golden era of appearance fees.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, that was how the Kim Kardashian sort of came to be. It was just like, we will pay you 10 grand just to be at this nightclub.
Yeah, that's what we need. As a nightclub DJ, as a still sometime nightclub DJ, Diallo, we need you recruiting people to make appearances and getting them paid. I mean, obviously, we need to bring us in. I think.
Oh yeah,
we got a hot crowd.
Well, yeah, sure.
The one time I DJed the Golden Globes after party.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's
this
cool.
is 2008. And
did you have a friend in the Hollywood Foreign Press?
I actually got it. I don't even remember who. Oh, I know. I think there was a woman at Universal. I did the premiere for Marley and Me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I bet that party was wild.
It just occurred to me. I DJed that party, and now it makes sense to me why they were like, you got to get people dancing.
Yeah.
You got to get people dancing.
That's a dog movie, and I imagine turns into a dead dog movie, right?
It's a sad movie. I know guy who's like, I literally can't watch that movie. I was doing the Golden Globes. And if you know anything about my mom, which you don't, hopefully.
Yeah. I've heard she's a wonderful woman.
Very well.
You're like, never met her. you know, I wanted her to see a bunch of celebrities. I wanted to see a bunch of stars. So I told the people, the organizers of the party, I was like, hey, I'm going to bring my DJ assistant, you know. And I gave my mom's name. And so she sat there. She was already like in her 60s at the time, and she had her little lanyard on, and you've never seen a woman beam so much, you know, like she was like, Tina Fey, like she was
Mom.
Beaming, and I was like so happy because I didn't need no help.
Tony
I didn't need no
Shalhoub,
assistant.
The dog from Marley and Me.
No, I kid you not. Alec Baldwin, like kind of bumped into her. He's like, "Oh, excuse me, ma'am," and my mom was like, "You know," she was so happy. Because, you know, that was before Rest.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, but he was just a standard insane asshole.
You guys want to try and bump into Alec Baldwin before Rust and then come back with some more?
I think we should. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Hey friends, Jordan here with a bit of exciting comic book news. I am writing a brand new Predator miniseries for Marvel Comics called Predator Bloodshed. A bunch of super cool artists are contributing to this project, and if you love the Predator, it's going to be a crazy, gory, good time. You can pre-order Predator Bloodshed at your local comic shop now, or go to bit.ly/coolfight to pre-order all 5 issues signed by me and delivered to you via mail from Collector's Paradise Comics. They ship anywhere in the world, so pre-order now at bit.ly/coolfight. And Jesse wants me to remind you to visit his vintage store, PutThisOnShop.com, for all your holiday shopping needs. Okay, back to the show.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
DLO, the other boy detective Riddle.
Wow.
Nice.
You know what? I consider Jordan to be the other boy detective.
You know what? I'll take it. Yeah. I'm just happy to be here hanging out.
Yeah, where's your Sherman's showcase?
I don't have one.
Yeah, he doesn't have one.
I didn't make it.
You've never written a parody of Guy.
It's true.
Oh, I never have. We actually wrote a Guy parody. You mean Guy the singing group?
Yeah, I was talking about Guy the singing group. I also could have said Orin Juice Jones.
Oh, there you go.
Also something
Donald Glover did that one on SNL. He did a great one. Did a really great one. We did a Guy slash, what would you say, Jodeci style. More Guy, though. More Guy or Troop, if you're a real hit, song.
We did a color-blocked band.
We did it with Fonte Coleman of the band of the group Little Brother, and we shot it. We choreographed it. We shot it. We looked at it, and we were just like, "Man, that looks like a bunch of unks." That does not look the way that we intended it.
You got
to
get some dreamboats in here. Yeah. We got to bring some dreamboats.
But the name of the song I want to say was like 2GQ for U2 Envy, and it was all letters.
Uh-huh.
Like 2GQ for U2 Envy, and we thought we killed it. And the song was great. I mean, like, maybe I'll find Fonte and put out that song. I feel like, I know your music tastes a little bit, I think you'll like that song.
You know, I love dream pop.
Sure.
I love all dream pop.
You're a big dream pop
guy. I can't
get
enough
dream
pop.
You love to dream.
If it's progressive.
Right.
If it's progressive.
You want the time signatures to be unusual.
Yeah, I like math dream pop.
Sure.
It's my preference.
Technical bass playing in your dream pop.
Yeah, Diallo doesn't know that. I mean, Diallo, you're a professional writer. You know a little something about creativity. We're also very creative.
No.
So, like, one of the things that we do on this show, a lot of people think, like, that we just come in here with maybe half an idea for something that happened to us this week that we wrote down on our phones, and then we just bullshit for 75 minutes. Actually, we come up with a lot of great ideas for segments.
We don't.
So sometimes when we run those segments, people think that they're actually hearing somebody who just wanted to call in and tell us something, but then they made up a segment that it's for. That's not what it is. We're actually really hard workers and
good
writers.
I believe in you.
Yeah, thank you. So here's an example of something that we thought of that a listener is responding to us. It's not just having a listener do our work for us.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, and Guy Branum. This is Jess from the tornado last year, and also from having a really lovely, earnest conversation with Jordan about being professional writers in our various fields, and he was wearing full Juggalo makeup. It was wonderful. Anyway.
Pause this for a second, Jordan. Just for your context, Diallo, first of all, this woman called in during a hurricane. Tornado. Called in from a tornado. She called in from a barn. She was trapped in a barn during a tornado, and she called in, which is exactly what we want from a momentous occasion call.
Absolutely.
It's perfect. Also, Jordan and I did a show in Chicago last year where we did wear full Juggalo makeup.
Oh, but I was talking to this woman in Ventura.
Oh,
totally
okay.
Different.
I have my own life outside the show.
Yeah.
He's got his own Juggalo makeup outside the show.
You were on a Juggalo surf trip.
I was on a Juggalo surf trip, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, we just wanted to give you that context.
Makes sense.
And also,
I like that she called it an earnest conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Given that
I love to speak earnestly.
Given that you didn't see our Juggalo makeup, I just want to clarify that it was really, really good and perfect and not very bad, and we did not realize how hard it is to do Juggalo makeup on yourself.
I bet.
Go ahead, Jordan.
I'm calling with the segment Shit You Saw on the Street, but maybe didn't warrant a Jordan Jesse go call quite alone, but now you have another thing and maybe that pushes you over the edge. Like 3 weeks ago, I was driving down a street and I looked to the car on my left and there was like a full on, I want to say macaw, one of those red parrots just on the driver's shoulder, blocking their head from my view. It was deeply disturbing. I was going to call them that, but I didn't because I was worried it was too basic. And then today I was driving home and there was a car in front of me and it had a sticker that said in the font of Shrek with like the ears over the S, said slut. And I was like, okay, between that and the macaw thing, that has to qualify for a momentous occasion. Anyway, love you guys. See you soon. Bye.
Love you too. Thank you. Thank you for giving us options. It's so important to give us options.
Please give us alts. Yeah, give us alts.
Call in with alts. Yeah.
But of course, this is a very structured show. So,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The alts are just they're like the spice.
Of course.
That's a good point.
Shrek slut, huh? Yeah. I mean, that's one of those. This is probably an off mic conversation of like, you know,
whether we've ever fucked a Shrek.
Whether we've ever fucked a Shrek. And we'll never tell.
I was told that this was going to be off the record. But yeah. Go ahead. Go for it.
Of just like things you kind of missed, right? Yeah. Like cultural things that you kind of missed. Yeah. I think you were giving the example of The Sandlot.
The Sandlot versus Goonies.
Yes.
Depending on when you were born, one of those movies is probably super beloved and the other one's perfectly fine movie.
Sure. Yeah. And Shrek is one of those. And like Shrek's weird for me. Shrek is one of has such a weird meme life. I feel like I periodically see, you know, like when everybody on your social media goes to one thing and then you just, when you're scrolling Instagram or something, oh, everybody I know is at that thing.
And nobody told me.
There's a Shrek rave. There's a Shrek rave and people I know go to it. And it looks kind of fun.
And you're like, oh, sorry, I go to a The Rescuers rave.
Right. It's just a generational thing. Yeah, exactly.
I went to the Aristocats.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're like, maybe.
I heard that shit's wild. Yeah.
But and you know it's kind of problematic these days if you look back.
Maybe your friends didn't invite you because you're like, that looks kind of fun. Maybe they know you well enough that they were like, he's going to only have kind of good time.
Yeah. He'll come and he'll kind of like goof on it for an hour or two and then he'll peace out. He'll Irish goodbye from the Shrek rave.
You're more into Puss in Heels.
Yes. Yes, I am.
I will always say Puss in Boots 2, The Last Wish.
That's the one about death, right?
Yes, it's one of the
best. I've heard that from more people.
That movie rips.
It's so good. It's so good. And it's weird when like a kid's movie just slips in there that's not from Pixar or Disney, just slips in there, DreamWorks, I think, right?
Yeah.
And that is such a phenomenally well done, well told, well beautifully animated movie.
I was talking just yesterday with Rebecca Sugar, who was a guest on the Bullseye Live show that we recorded. And she just got hired to make a movie. Moomin's movie. It would be an international, like, major Moomin's movie.
What is a Moomin? I'm sorry.
A Moomin is a, I believe, Finnish character. They sort of look like hippopotamus people.
Okay.
Like ghosts of hippopotamus people is how I would describe what a Moomin looks like.
What are the Finns drinking?
They are like very...
What aren't they drinking?
Something with lingonberry. They're immensely popular in Europe and in Japan.
Okay.
They're like monumentally huge in Europe and Japan.
It's part of the collection of stuff like Tintin and Asterix,
okay.
The
yeah,
doll.
Oh, gosh.
That,
yes,
like,
okay.
You see everywhere when you're in Europe, but we kind of sort of know what
kind of passed over.
Yeah. And Rebecca Sugar, of course, the total mega genius behind Steven Universe. And we were talking about how hard it is to translate the aesthetics of a 2D cartoon into 3D. and like how often those 3D movies are just like, how much stuff can we put in the frame?
Yeah.
And the two examples of like really interesting choices in aesthetics that we were discussing were the Peanuts movie, which our friend Paul Feig was one of the main creative people behind, and they really like found a way to make the 2D art of Peanuts into a 3D thing.
Yeah.
And the other one was fucking Puss in Boots 2, looks so cool. Like, it's really about something, like the idea of, like, what you want to do before you die and, like, how you want to make meaning in your life. But also, just, like, when Puss in Boots is, like, fucking skating off of roofs of houses, you're like, this is fucking awesome, man. And then when he punches a hole in someone's mouth, Jordan.
Hold on.
It is incredible.
It really made me love the character just in a whole new way. And it is so curated and it's so lovingly done. I love it when you watch a movie, you're like, even if it's not your favorite movie, you're like, this is the person who made this, this is one of their favorite movies.
Like this person jacks the level of detail.
But there's like one scene, and I'm not the internet told me this, but I went back and I was like, holy shit, there's a scene very early on where like the crowd cheers for Puss in Boots. And some eagle-eyed viewer pointed out, look in the back. Death is already there staring at him.
Whoa.
And it gave me chills because he posted like a still frame. I was like, that's in there? And you go back and you watch that scene. And sure enough, when everybody's hands go up in the back, there's one person not reacting at all, and it's Death. Yeah. And it's like,
you know, I knew Puss in Boots was in the Long Legs universe. I just knew it, and this proves it.
Yeah. We have one more segment that we thought of. Let's hear it.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jesse. Hey, Go. I'm Laurel from Asheville, and I'm calling in for your segment, What's Up with the Aldi Parking Lot?
Can you pause this? What proportion of the people that call into our show would you say are just super blazed?
Most?
Most? Yeah, there was a thing for a while on Stop Podcasting Yourself, our sister program, wonderful show that everyone should subscribe to, where they just had people call in when they got really hammered just to see what would happen. And that went really well, I think. I think a Jordan Jesse Go listener much more likely to call in when they're fucking in the clouds.
Is this a bad road to go down? Give us a call when you're blazed. 206-9844-FUN. We might have some weed gummy promo codes for you in the near future.
Can I say something, Jordan? Yes. I'm concerned that those calls are going to be too slow to play.
Sure. And coherent and not as funny as the person calling thinks they are.
Let me put this out there. Yeah. When you're just high as the sky on blow,
that's what we want.
When you are cranking it up on meth, give us a call because we want that velocity.
We do.
We want that impact.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jesse. I'm disassembling a washing machine.
I really fast story because I know we've
yes, right. no.
Really fast story. Rodney Dangerfield had never appeared on film before Caddyshack.
Right.
But Ramis knew that he wanted him. So he was like, can you come up to Paramount so we can all meet you? And as the story goes, Rodney Dangerfield shows up in a limo, walks into Ramis's office, pours out three gigantic rails of cocaine.
Wow.
Does them while everybody's standing there, and then sits down and he's like, I ain't never done a movie before. How are we going to do this? And they were like, you're hired. Like, we have nothing else to say to you. You're insane. And so apparently he wasn't even lying because the first thing he ever shot is when he walks into the clubhouse and he starts insulting people like one by one. They called action and he didn't move. He didn't even know that you move on action.
Wow.
That's how green
he didn't even know
was.
Like movie cliches.
He did not that know lights, rips. Camera, action. He was like, hey, you want me to move? My Rodney's not that bad, but
the
I
Rodney's
guess everybody's
pretty
good. Probably got a decent Rodney. Okay, I'm sorry. Back to the
No, that was wonderful.
I'll say this. I have seen Caddyshack as an adult. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It is the most incoherent movie in the history
Makes no
of
sense.
Cinema. Yeah. Just total nonsense. Everyone is making a different movie that's on screen.
You know that story, right? Like they at the same time they're making Caddyshack, they're basically roughly the same time they're making Airplane. And Airplane, they test every single joke, you know. Oh, that one didn't land. That one didn't land. That one didn't land. Caddyshack, they not only had like a way too long script that focused on the caddies, you know, and not on the golfers. But like by the time that they were like filming the scene with Bill Murray and Chevy Chase, a scene not in their already too long script, like it was just like, it was just throw everything at the wall and then we'll find the movie in editing.
I have to say that like watching Caddyshack as an adult, like Bill Murray, you know, is he possibly some sort of pest? Yes. But obviously a great genius. Chevy Chase, is he possibly the worst person in show business who hasn't like murdered anyone? yes, but like I genuinely like nothing makes me laugh harder than Chevy Chase doing Chevy Chase stuff. I'm a total Chevy Chase doing Chevy Chase stuff fan.
The early Chevy Chase has a charm. I my dad was like, "Why do you think this is funny?" And I didn't really know, but now I go back and I'm like, "That's charm."
Yeah,
mm-hmm. We didn't know. Right. I wish I did.
Plumber
know.
Man. but yeah.
I like what brings you to this nape of the woods, neck of the wave. Why are you here?
Like neither of their parts in this movie particularly worked for me as an adult man. Yeah. Most of the movie I found boring, except when Rodney Dangerfield is on screen and you're like, this is the greatest
That's
thing I've ever seen in my
He's
life.
He's a force of nature. He's a freaking force of nature. I can't agree more.
He is visiting from a Rodney Dangerfield movie.
And then Which has never been made.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to do Back to School and a bunch of movies, but this was his first, and it's just a fucking breakout role. So anyway.
Anyway, we gotta should we listen to the rest of this yes, call yeah, or sure. just
quit the
business?
The stone guy was calling from Aldi, I believe.
Yeah,
the parking lot of Aldi.
Asheville, North Carolina,
beautiful country.
I was walking out of the store and I just see into the windshield of these people's car, and it's like, you know, like a mid-sized crossover, whatever. Not a Subaru. And they had seat covers, novelty seat covers, and they both were like sepia tone and had a big like woodcut print of a train, and the passenger seat said, "I'm a girl," and the driver's seat said, "I'm a man," and that's what's up in the Aldi parking lot. Anyway, off I go.
Laurel, you're too stoned to drive. Do not. I don't know.
Hang in that parking lot for a minute.
Yeah. Is there a Denny's? Can you walk to a Denny's and hang out?
Speaking of the hard work that we do on our show, Diallo, you think you're the only one that can get Fonte and Thundercat to come in and work on their program? Yeah, we got Fonte and Thundercat to write that Aldi song at the end.
It's going to be a hit.
And to go in the Aldi parking lot.
Aldi's sleeping on money.
Is that are those car seat headrests or whatever the caller was looking at? Are those is that a reference to something?
Yeah, well, I think the car seat headrest was an early 90s alt rock band.
Yes, yeah.
I'm probably misremembering. I thought it might be that song like, I'm a man, I'm a lover, I'm a man. Do you guys remember that song?
I don't.
I'm messing with the lyrics.
That one? You don't remember that song?
I didn't say I remembered every lyric.
I didn't even know that you heard that song that we had rapper Big Pooh write for us.
Everything you're saying makes no sense because our conversation about those people was off.
I guess that was off mic. That's a good point. That's a good point.
But hey, it's all the show, baby.
Yeah.
The it's life, all the show. Our life, that's the show.
You know what? At the end of the day, our life is the show.
Yes.
Anything can be art, Jordan.
Yes.
Give us a MacArthur.
Yeah, I'll take one.
You know, should we get a... Jordan, this is something that Steven never did for us. I think you could do it, though. Could you get us a MacArthur?
Yeah. Or I'll take a Peabody or a pea organ.
Yeah, why stop there? Let's just do the whole the EGOT.
Yeah,
across the board. I like this. Jordan Cowling ushering in a new era of JJ Go where we're going to go for it. EGOT.
Jordan, can we get a PGOT? That's an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, a Tony, and a Polk.
I thought it was a Pinocchio, but yeah.
Well, that's when we lie on the Drudge Report.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, we get
I don't know.
Five Pinocchios.
Do we have a show?
Listen, hold on. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
Figure out if we have a show, okay, and then come back and end the show if we have it.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
Hey, I'm Jake Heath Van Stratton from Go Fact Yourself, and I'm here with Max Fun Member of the Month, Josh Mentor, who has been a Maximum Fun member since 2016. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Jake Heath, how are you doing today?
I'm so well, and thank you so much for being a listener and supporter of our show. What made you decide to support Max Fun in general and to support our show, Go Fact Yourself?
Jordan Morris on Jordan Jesse Go has a thing that he likes to say, which is, you know, you tip your bartender a buck a beer, you tip your podcaster a buck a month. You know, I get way more use out of Max Fun podcasts than I do like Disney Plus or Netflix.
Well, it's something we very much appreciate. And by the way, when was the last time Netflix selected you as a member of the month?
Exactly.
Exactly. Josh Mentor, congratulations, and thank you again for being the Max Fun member of the month.
Thanks so much, guys.
Become a Max Fun member now at MaximumFun.org/join.
Walking About is the podcast about walking. It's a walkumentary series where I, Alan McLeod, and a fun, friendly guest go for a walkabout. You'll learn about interesting people and places and have the kind of conversations you can only have on foot. We've got guests like Lauren Lapkus.
I figured something out about this map, like how to read it.
Betsy Sodaro.
I had no clue. That's awesome and nuts.
John Gabris.
This is like great first date for like broke 20-something, you know?
And more. Check out Walking About with Alan McLeod on Maximum Fun. La, 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 la,
la, la, la, la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Y'all are the other boy detective Riddle.
Giallo, one of the episodes of your podcast, One Song, that I enjoyed was the one where you weren't familiar with the Beach Boys.
Listen, man, the Beach Boys, I think there's something about the Beach Boys. I think you have to have nostalgia for the Beach Boys a little bit. I do. I think.
I will say this. So, like, when.
Because I hear perfectly wonderful songs, and I get that he was using equipment and techniques that were new at the time. I get all of that. But at the end of the day, I always say, like, it shouldn't, I should be able to feel it. I should be able to hear it. You know what I mean? Like, and I still can't quite hear what everybody else is hearing when they tell me Brian Wilson's a genius. I just can't hear it.
On your podcast, One Song, you like break down songs, listen to their stems, which is the like individual tracks.
Right.
Of the recording.
The bass, the guitar, the keyboards.
Right. And
drums.
Often it is like almost parodically pursuant to my interests. Like, it is like I started listening because something was on the show that I was like, oh, I should listen to this.
I like that song.
And I knew your work from Southside and Sherman's Showcase. And I was like, there's something that I was interested in. I was like, I guess maybe I should check out this podcast. And then the next episode right after that was Square Biz by Tina Marie, a song that I think about 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so, like, often it is, like, specifically my thing. When it is about rock stuff, I generally do not know what you're talking about. Like, that's outside of my experience. Like, your co-host Luxury, former punk rock guy, though he is sort of like sort of disco-y dance music now, but like former punk rock guy. So he knows about The Clash or whatever in a way that I simply don't. But Fall Out Boy is a good example. Like, learning about Fall Out Boy's hardcore roots.
You almost made it through that episode.
I almost made it through that episode, right? But the Beach
By the way,
Boys,
one of our most popular episodes.
Yeah.
It's funny to see like Patrice Rushen's episode where we talked about You Remind Me. Amazing numbers. Little John.
Little John was such a delight.
Dude, that dude is so funny, right?
Yeah.
That was a huge episode. Other episodes about groups that I really like. We did Massive Attack and did Teardrop, which is one of my favorite songs, one of Blake's favorite songs. Could not buy a listener. You know, like, I think it's to this day our lowest rated episode. I'm like, I don't know why. Like, we talked about, I mean, like, granted, Massive Attack is not Britney Spears. It's not, you know, Bruno Mars, other artists that we've covered on the show. We tend to do The Clash. We tend to find a sweet spot between, like, the late 70s and the early 2000s. I think that's our sweet spot.
That's when the stems are available,
right,
for one thing.
But
what I was going to say about the Beach Boys is... Yeah. I do not have nostalgia for the Beach Boys. I didn't like grow up listening to the Beach Boys. Like my parents only listened to like Nina Simone in Parliament.
Yeah.
But I like maybe as Got like a 24-year-old
or age.
28-year-old was like, I think I like the Beach Boys, and then just started to listen to their weird songs about feet. And
I think I like the weirder eras of the Beach Boys. Like, for example, one of my favorite songs is the song Fuel Flows, and it's a later era Beach Boys. Because I think that, you know, for my purposes, the stuff like Surfing USA and that kind of stuff, it just doesn't, I'm like, this is perfectly catchy. Great, great catchy tune. But if we're going to talk about the Beach Boys stuff that I like, it's like the later stuff. And some of the stuff that Dennis Wilson did, sort of like when he's off, you know, being Dennis on his own boat doing solo albums.
So like me being a guy that has like listened to the Beach Boys a fair amount, because I went through a period where I was like listening to the Beach Boys a lot. I am so far from competing with Beach Boys people. Like our friend, Jordan and my friend Brian Heater, who Jordan used to do a radio show with when we were in college, is a Beach Boys person.
Yeah.
The producer of Bullseye, Kevin Ferguson, a Beach Boys person.
Yeah.
And like the depth of their knowledge about the Beach Boys is such that like I interviewed...
It's more than just Kokomo, you know. You know those guys who did Kokomo?
You want to rage
other songs.
If you want to rage bait them, bring up Kokomo. Yeah.
like we've been putting Bullseyes onto YouTube. This is relatively new for Bullseye, and like we don't have a big YouTube subscriber base. It's all in the podcast and on public radio, right? But I interviewed Al Jardine from the Beach Boys, the loveliest man in the fucking world. And like I talked to him about what Brian Wilson meant to him. It was shortly after Brian Wilson passed. Like just talk to him about all these like really important things. And that interview in relative Bullseye terms, like in social media clips and on YouTube, has blown the fuck up.
Yeah.
And it's because Beach Boy fans found out a different Beach Boy went bah, bah, bah on one of the songs.
Wow. Breaking news.
I don't remember. It's like, it's either that Brian did it and they thought someone else did it, or that they thought Brian did it, but someone else did
it. I'm telling you, Luxury said that this one thing in the song that we covered was not Brian Wilson. It was, I think it might have been Al that he was saying it was. And the comments, the vitriol was insane because, like you said, they are all mega experts down to like the last note.
Yeah.
It is definitely, it's definitely a culture.
But I'll say this, I'm with Luxury on God Only Knows being the most beautiful thing ever. Mm. Like, I truly, like, if I hear that, I'm like, oh, this is what popular music is supposed to be. Yeah. This is breathtaking. Yeah,
that's
totally incredible.
Yeah, I think he says it's the song that makes him cry every time.
Yeah.
We got to get John Stamos on this show.
We got to get Stamos.
Then
Jordan,
he can tell Beach Boys stories. We can have a viral hit.
Jordan, now that we're finally rid of Steven, the incredibly nice, highly competent producer who produced the show until recently, can we finally get Stamos in here?
I think it's time. Yeah.
You know
it's
what?
Time.
How about this? Bring Romaine. I want Romaine Stamos in here too. Get Becky in here.
Oh, Becky.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Rogue.
Yeah.
You went rogue.
What about Dave Coulier?
No way.
If Dave Coulier wants to come on, you say cut it out.
Yeah.
Tell him cut it out.
Do we not like Coulier?
No, we would have Coulier, right? Unless Coulier has become weird and problematic in a way that we haven't clocked.
Coulier have problems with Alanis?
I don't know. I know
problems.
Maybe it's about him, maybe it's not.
This is something that it falls into that broad category of things like The Clash that I know only as references and not actually from the inside out.
We'll check into it. We'll Google Dave
Coulier or not so Coulier. We will find out.
You know what? Go to the AI. Go to Grok and type. I know you're on Grok. I know you're on paid tier on Grok.
Grok is like, Coulier has a suspicious last name.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe don't ask Grok.
Don't ask Grok anything.
Go to Erotic Grok.
Right.
Erotica.
And type in Dave Coulier good question mark.
Coulier's not Jewish. Oh, see, Grok.
Wait a minute.
Grok. That's our Grok.
Grok pulls his arms.
That's why we give Grok that $20 a month. That and a check mark. Diallo Riddle's podcast is called One Song. I really can't recommend it enough. I don't like podcasts.
It's a lot of fun.
I'm a professional podcaster. I don't like podcasts. I love listening to this podcast.
I have to call myself a podcaster. As podcasters, why are we so self-loathing? We are pretty darn self-loathing. First, I had someone call me a podcaster. I wanted to punch him. Yeah. You know, but then, but now I've like
I don't
want to
be associated with Amy Poehler. I don't want to be associated with every movie star in America now, I guess.
Yeah. My go-to is always, I'm like, hey, guys, if we need more listeners, I will just tell you what I really feel about the vaccines.
There you go. Why aren't we doing that? We love them.
Yum, freaking, yum, yum. I eat two every season.
Yeah, we eat vaccines.
We eat them.
Nom, 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 nom. Our theme music is Love You by The Free Design. Thanks to The Free Design.
The Free
Thanks.
Design.
Aren't they wonderful?
Awesome. That's awesome.
People think that we think that they shouldn't. You should listen to The Free Design.
Yeah,
they're
do
wonderful.
It.
Kites.
Kites are fun.
Amazing. Kites
yeah.
are fun.
Incredible.
2002,
song.
A hit.
Yeah. Smash hit.
Great song.
Kites Are Fun by The Free Design is the name of the album. Thanks to Light in the Attic Records for letting us use that. Jordan Cowling, her first episode solo. Woo-hoo! Behind the boards. Welcome aboard,
such
JK.
Such a cool producer.
A former producer of your program.
She was the first producer of One Song. In fact, a lot of the DNA of our show is Jordan's.
Oh, that's why it's half dinosaur. I had no idea.
The second I said DNA, I was like, I'm opening this up.
Yeah.
To a lot of jokes.
You can find us on social media. We're on Instagram at Jordan David Morris, at Jesse Thorne, very famous, at Jordan Jesse Go Pod. You can find us on Blue Sky at Jordan Jesse Go. Facebook.com/Jordan Jesse Go is another place you can go. We are, of course, on Reddit, reddit.com/r/maximum fun. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.
I'll hug you and kiss you and love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.